FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. The holidays are here, and this year, give yourself the gift of extra money in your pocket. Pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Roll your high-interest credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. I think the average rate right now pushing 20 in this country. How about that? Think about that. Could save you thousands of dollars in interest. And just for y'all, right now, you can get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get that discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. So their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan, Sullivan. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. And it is a Thursday, and it is the day that we celebrate everything that's Robert or Bobby and Robert Kennedy Jr. joining us in studio. Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Good morning. And the celebrating Robert should actually be every day.
Yes, yes. But what about Sean? What about Dalton?
Well, you know.
You know?
I mean, how you guys doing today?
Doing good. And do you want to take a little bit of time to talk about that football game?
Yes.
Want to mention this?
So we had the Army-Navy football game on Saturday, and I am pleased to announce that Navy defeated Army in a crushing fashion.
Yes.
Good times.
Yeah, you were asking me if I watched the game. I said, no, but I watched your Facebook feed enough to know what was up with the game, and you were like super fan. You're a super fan.
As I well should be.
Yes.
You know, it was funny. One of the things that people started asking me when I was going through the campaign process here over the last couple of years was I an Alabama person or an Auburn person? And I always responded, I'm a Go Navy guy.
That's a win. But you don't have to, you know, legitimately, you know, you'd be like, well, I went to school at Navy, so that's the team I pull for.
One of the things I do like about our particular rivalry is a lot of times when we compare it to something like Alabama-Auburn, Alabama-Auburn continues all year in every sport, and folks are constantly competing against each other.
Yes.
But with the service academies, on that day during that time, we're trying to crack skulls,
right.
But outside of that, we're brothers and sisters in arms.
Yeah, so it's a really good thing. It's a really good vibe. In the years I have watched it, the vibe around that. Although I like the picking back and forth. Like it. All right. So yesterday, I'm not going to act surprised because I think it was back in September when I was up in Washington and Speaker Pelosi said they're moving forward with the hearings on impeachment. They will impeach the president. I mean, it's not shocked or surprised. Interesting on the edges here. Democrats that could have or that they were thinking might have jumped ship and not voted for the articles of impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
That I saw that list as high as maybe 12 that they thought, but only two yesterday.
Right.
Went with that.
One out of Maine.
Yeah,
the Maine one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This for a second here. I gotta talk to you about this. Yep. So this guy votes yes on one article, no on the other.
Yes.
Now that is like you have the political savvy.
Right.
That's just like you're now, I know what that feeling's like because I'm usually in the middle and getting run over on stuff. But this guy now is I don't know, pox on his house from both sides.
Now is that better or worse than voting present?
I don't know. So you know, and we're talking about Representative Gabbard, presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard. I thought it was interesting. She said after reading the document, she couldn't vote either yes or no. And voted present. So if y'all heard it yesterday and you heard the one vote present on the first article, one vote present on the second, that was Tulsi Gabbard. So from your opinion, that was what?
From my perspective, that's actually worse.
Okay.
Right? Because especially if you're in an election cycle to be president, at a certain point you need to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so saying that you're not capable of making a decision given what you saw, I don't know that that's very confidence inspiring.
And so after we get through this, we now have the majority of Democrats, but two, voting, and then with present, for the articles of impeachment, and no Republican voting for.
Does that surprise you?
Not in today's world. I mean, that it's that polarized. Another nuance here we were talking about, and Dalton had brought it up early in the week, was reading a story from the Federalist, and I had heard no one talk about it, but now people are saying, and Speaker Pelosi actually made a nod to it, that she might not... You know, we're kind of learning continuing education for civics on the fly, that even though the articles of impeachment were voted on in the House, that she doesn't immediately have to take it to the Senate. Doesn't have
There's actually a separate step where she has to forward.
You have to elect a person that is your ambassador to the Senate to carry. It's kind of arcane to carry it over there and hand it off.
Well, think about it. Like, you know how the House and Senate may pass different versions of a bill, and you have a conference committee. Nobody really ever talks about the conference committee.
Right,
because it really gets to the point of passing. So here, no one really talks about the fact that some person has to act. Well, the Speaker of the House has to make the decision to forward it, and it's her decision as an individual, and then some person has to actually carry it over and hand it to them.
That's the thing that, there's a physical, like, the person that has a document in their hand, they walk over there into the Senate. So, but the bigger story here politically is that, you know, what does Speaker Pelosi do with this? Is it better? Because she's saying, well, not until, you know, Mitch McConnell does X, Y, and Z with the way they're going to run this in the Senate. Well, Mitch McConnell's probably not going to agree with that. So now are we looking at a stalemate where it just sits there? And is that maybe what you want if you're a Democrat, that you have the articles of impeachment, present impeached by the House of Representatives, but doesn't have a chance in the Senate trial to be exonerated or have, you know, whatever. So it's just hanging out there.
It actually does make sense for her to hold on to it for a minute or two, because think about it from the perspective of the goal, right? The goal
is to keep President Trump from getting reelected.
So I had my pregnant pause there, because there's a whole lot prior to President Trump's defeat in November of 2020. But be that as it may, I think the impeachment was the goal. Because as we talked about, the very first time that you and I actually broached this topic, I don't even know how many weeks ago at this point, we figured that there was a high likelihood he would be impeached and then ultimately acquitted by the Senate because of the two-thirds requirement.
Right.
Will require something in the neighborhood of 20 or so Republicans to jump ship, which we did not think was going to happen.
I don't see it now.
So I come back to this thing from the perspective of Speaker Pelosi is, what is it that could possibly cause that situation to change?
Okay.
Right? If anything, the testimony of those four potential witnesses could theoretically implicate the president. And so if you're at a point right now where Senator McConnell doesn't want to allow those folks to testify in an actual trial where you can call witnesses and have a defense attorney, et cetera, then it seems like it would be in the Speaker's best interest to put a little bit of pressure on him, although ultimately it's his decision, to put a little bit of pressure on him to see if she can crack that.
You know, it's funny to see the turnaround, because for a while there, the president and other Republicans wanted it to go that way too, with the idea of being able to call Hunter Biden and Joe Biden up.
Hunter has a whole lot to do with this, right?
Well, I mean, if you look at the whole discussion of what happened with Ukraine, what happened with Burisma, I mean, yeah, he does have a lot to do with it.
I actually think that hurts the case.
How's that?
Because if you say that he actually has a part of it and he's integral, then you have
to because it's his father.
Right, which actually reinforces the notion that you're trying to interfere with the election. If I was on the Republican side, I wouldn't be saying Hunter Biden at all. I would just take him off of it and say, hey, it was all about corruption at the macro level. I would never say any names. But, of course, the president doesn't have that level of discipline. So you got to have Giuliani going over there and saying, I've got something else now, which continues to reinforce the notion of the interference in the election.
Does this move the electorate? And they talk about the undecided voters. It's the undecided voters. I wish there were more undecided voters in our country on every election, because it would make things more interesting, but they're not. So this is, to me, just more galvanization of one side and then more galvanization of another side.
Nothing changes. The thing that I wanted to emphasize, this is the reason why I brought it up, was the only thing that could cause this to move theoretically is if the four folks who have been ordered not to testify has some sort of information that they will provide under oath that they don't necessarily want to get out. That's the only thing that would cause anyone to move in a different direction.
You know, this could have gone. I mean, this could have, and we talk about co-equal branches of government. This has happened before, like with routine, that the executive branch and the legislative branch are at odds. Mm-hmm. And then you bring in the judicial branch to compel one to do what the other one wants to do.
Oh, God, Sean, you're going down this one?
Go ahead. Let's
keep going.
Oh, God, Robert, yes, I am.
So
you could go through the process, right? You could go through the process of compelling through the judicial branch to have those people, you know, if you want Mulvaney in or something like that, you could do that.
Okay, so you're almost right, but not quite.
Okay,
right.
How am I?
So let's take impeachment off for the time being. So if you have a traditional...
But that's what we're talking about.
But hold on a second. Let's just put it to the side for a second, because I'm going to show you where I agree with you.
Okay.
So if you talked about a traditional issue, like, say, for example, building the wall,
mm-hmm.
right, where the president took some funding from the Department of Defense budget mm-hmm. and redirected it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a conflict between the intent of Congress and the intent of the executive branch,
mm-hmm.
those two things go to a third party, the courts, and the court ultimately decides.
Mm-hmm.
So more recently, they've stayed that, right? You're absolutely right in that situation. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, when it comes to the issue of impeachment, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that the House of Representatives, who has the sole power of impeachment,
mm-hmm.
needs to do anything else. So while what you have said, I think, is better strategically, I think it would have made the case for obstruction of Congress
stronger. Well, that's
stronger.
What I'm getting. That's what I'm on.
It would have made it stronger, but it's not required.
But if
and
you're
that's obstructed. Where people start to get confused.
Okay, but help me with this then. If you're going to say that, then does the legislative branch somehow have power over the executive branch and can command them to do something?
Only in the issue of impeachment. That's the only area. Because remember,
but you said the Constitution does not lay out. It does not lay out. It says they have the sole power of impeachment. I completely agree.
That's right.
But does the impeachment process also give them the ability to command the executive branch to have people testify and turn over documents? That's a stretch.
It's not a big stretch. It's not a stretch at all, because they are. Remember, it was the original thing that happened was an impeachment inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually investigating to determine whether or not the actions fueled the articles of impeachment. What the president did was said, hey, these people aren't going to testify under any circumstances. They're not going to provide documents under any circumstances. So essentially, he's obstructed the investigation process, and by virtue of doing that, created the obstruction of Congress article, because it's all related to the issue.
Well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, because that's why I think you have the judicial branch there. You take your case to the judicial branch, third branch, and have them make the decision.
Politically, it's better, but it's not constitutionally
required. I understand what you're saying, but I disagree that just because
you disagree that it's required?
No, I disagree I completely agree. The House has the full power of mm-hmm. impeachment. There's no question on that.
Right.
What is how broad is that? Can you, if you're saying, hey, we're doing an investigation into impeachment, we're doing these hearings, mm-hmm. can you take powers that are vested in the other two branches of government or override them because of this? You can still, they're not, the fact the executive branch is not complying doesn't mean you can't impeach, right? I mean, you still have, the executive branch
That's
not doing that
has
not taken, is not taken away. You're right. And you know, you talk about this obstruction of Congress. I mean, obstruction of Congress goes on with some degree. I mean, you look at the past impeachments, we're talking about obstruction of justice every time. It's not obstruction of justice, it's obstruction of Congress.
But this, it's obstruction of Congress as it pertained to the issue of impeachment. That's the issue. So the
right,
original
but,
thing that's being investigated.
But does that then, if it is about impeachment, does that now let them override what the rules would be in any other situation?
No. It's only impeachment. That's the reason why I was saying in the other situation, I actually agree with you wholeheartedly. You simply file a court case. But in this situation, remember, the trial would happen in the Senate.
Sure.
This isn't the trial.
Right.
This is the investigation
to
determine
yeah.
if the charge is going to be levied.
Right, but
and
at
so
the same
you're not
time.
Even cooperating with that. Then you have literally no separation of powers argument, because the Constitution defines it as solely in the House of Representatives.
Right, but okay, we got to get the break. Coming right back, Robert Kennedy Jr., our guest. Text lines open at 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Our guest in studio, Robert Kennedy Jr. Kennedy for Alabama coming back in 2020. Talk more about that. Also, got the impeachment talk. You and I could talk for another 5 hours on this impeachment stuff, but I do want to get your take on a couple local stories here, and specifically, let's talk Amtrak first.
Okay.
Okay, because I just came off that story. So Mobile City Council Finance Committee meets today to talk about $3 million in funding that may or may not be used. I guess it's there to meet the federal match, but if ridership is lower than they expect, or the ticket price has to be less than they planned on, it would kick in. I talk about this on two sides. I said, I see this two ways. Number one, I worry about it. See the history of our city getting in these deals, you know, having debt right. service for the city. At the other side, the dreamer in me, the idea of stepping on a train and going places is cool. I mean, it's not a defensible, but it's just my heart, that part of it.
Well, I see this with two minds as well. So we'll start with an advocacy standpoint, then I'll come back to an issue that I've talked about a number of times in the show. From an advocacy standpoint, I would love to see us do it. And it's because when you start to put away the truly partisan issues that we have, any time that we're building infrastructure that gives the opportunity for people to travel in and out, I think that is something that most world-class cities have. And the fact that we lack that actually puts us in a position where we're almost kind of self-constraining ourselves. Because there's truly upside to having that additional transportation in and out of the city.
Yeah, and that's, I think one of the questions, and I'll let you get back to it, one of the questions we do have to figure out, I'm going to try to drill into this like I've done over the years, is how efficient will this be? Mm-hmm. How fast will the train get us to New Orleans, basically?
It would probably be more efficient than the $10 million that was supposed to go, in theory, to the USA football stadium.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and your other part, you said you see this two ways.
Yeah, the other part is, you and I have had a continual conversation, particularly when people start throwing around terms like socialism.
Yeah.
Right? And the market has not said that a train should
preach. That's the thing.
Here
I know.
In Mobile, Alabama.
You're right.
Hasn't determined that. And so anytime we're doing something that is not determined by the market and we're using public funds in order to support those initiatives, it's something that we need to be cautious about.
Right. I complete agreement on that one. That's the one that, you know, I take the dreamer in me. I go, settle down, dreamer. Settle down and think about the fiscal portions of this. Also, coming up this week, it was a 6-1 vote by the MAWS board to go ahead with rate increases. And it's a little bit complex. It's the way, you know, you get no volume discount for your water, basically, is what it is.
Yeah, and here's the thing that's actually interesting. So, you know, I live in Pritchard, and I know that ultimately anything that happens with Mobile from a water rate standpoint is going to end up flowing to Pritchard as well.
I get the pun. I like that.
Yeah. But we talk about this quite often. It's like there are people who are living on limited budgets that don't necessarily increase over time.
Right.
And so when you have the cumulative effect of all these separate individual charges, you talk about the water and you talk about healthcare costs, et cetera, you know, there are people who are actually impacted by that. And that's always a concern to me, particularly when you have boards who in this situation voted 6-1. There's no counter to it, right? It's not like it's an elected person that has accountability the next cycle.
We've got the Public Service Commission, right?
Yeah. Well, they won't even let you record those meetings. So. That's what my concern is there, particularly when you talk about you have to keep me honest on these numbers, but isn't it over a period of about 10 years, it's going to be something like 50 to 60% increase?
I looked at the total, like just the simple math of it, because it was like a 4% and a 6%. I thought it was like 20-something percent.
Maybe there may be something like that.
But I was just looking at the simple math of it. It was 20%. You know, I'm torn on that one too, because I've been lamenting for at least a decade, probably a couple decades. I find it absolutely unacceptable to have the sewage spills we do around here in our water system. One of the great things about living here is our water.
Right.
And it's unacceptable. If this is what it takes, then, you know, I lament that we didn't use Restore Act money to tackle something that was a real environmental issue around here, but that ship may have sailed. So how do you address this? Maybe this is the way to do it. I don't know. Hopefully we'll be able to afford water. I won't be rationing water to my children like they did in the movie Dune, or like the Frank Herbert book. Yeah, where we're saving it. All right. As always, a pleasure and a Merry Christmas. And
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to Dalton and your families. And we'll look forward to picking up this conversation in the new year.
That's right. All right. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning. So we're getting awfully close to Christmas, and I know there's some great deals out there on the lot at McConnell.
Yeah, we still have employee pricing going on, but, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm in my office watching TV and seeing all these the bayways backed up. We got wrecked. Don't forget about us. We've got one of the state-of-the-art body shops in the city of Mobile. Gary Turner, everybody, we take most insurance claims. They will take care of you, fix any car you got. Always want to give a shout out to them. They're one of our best places here to come see. Also, check us online at McConnellAutomotive.com. See all the beautiful cars we got. Got deals. Like I said, it's the end of the month, end of the year. This stuff needs to go. I promise you, we're not going to miss your deal. We're going to give you top dollar for your trades, and come on by and see us.
You also buy the car from the customer, too, right?
That is correct. You want to get some holiday cash and want to get rid of one of those cars you got in your driveway, give us a call. Give us the VIN and the miles, and we'll give you a price on the telephone.
All right. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 8:38, and y'all say hello to Rob Holbert from Lanyap, and Merry Christmas to you, man.
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
And
happy holidays.
Yeah.
All
the stuff combined here.
All of them, yeah.
And y'all shut down Lanyap all Christmas season and bring it back sometime in the spring, right?
Right, yeah. Not exactly. But, you know, we get a little bit of a break next week, but, you know, the news never sleeps, Sean.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, it's just what was happening there was me just expressing jealousy at my friends that, you know, that work at regular. They go, well, you know, we lock it up and we shut it down and we come back sometime after the kids get back to school in January. I said, what is that like? That's something.
Nice. It's a nice thing.
All right.
But we're not complaining.
No. We all chose this. Nobody forced us to do this, so that is for sure. All right. I want to talk about a couple things. I do want to get to your column in the new Lanyap, but before we do, let's talk about, number one, it seems like everything is on for the Moon Pine Drop. We're good for that. And, okay, we found that out in the city council meeting. And the other thing, the train. Amtrak, you know, we need to come up with $3 million in Mobile, and if we don't, then conceivably, if the tracks ever get open to the east, will the train just come flying through Mobile and just not stop? People will be waving at us and laughing.
I guess if we don't pay up, you know, they'll just fly through. Yeah, it's a 3-year deal that basically we have to come up with about $3 million to get it done, and you know. It's the pricing structure on it looks feasible. I mean, I think when you look at what they're talking about, it's like $26 to $28 one way per person. You think, well, God, that's kind of expensive. But, you know, if you say, well, okay, I'm going to go to New Orleans and back, that's going to use most of a tank of gas. If I park my car overnight or, you know, for a night or two, that's going to be, you know, $50-$60. You know, you're getting close to 100 there. So for two people, it's not far off, and you have the pleasure of just sitting in a car and looking out and looking at the coast. So, I mean, that part's interesting. You know, whether we're going to come up with the money or not, I don't know. I think it'd be nice, you know.
Yeah, the money is one part of it. I'm going to tell you what I think the other part of it is the time. You know, and I've had a lot of people express different opinions to me how long it could take.
Right.
And I think if they can make the argument, if this Mobile to New Orleans route would be what it would take you to drive, maybe with a little bit of traffic and park, right, and then get to where you're going, if it's close to that same time, it could be 10, 15 minutes longer, maybe 30 minutes longer, I think people will use it. If it turns out, like some people say, well, this could be, you know, 5 hours because you got to stop at the stops. And if it's 5 or 6 hours to go over one way, then it's not going to happen, and people won't use it.
I don't think it'll be that. I mean, you know, I'm sure you have as well. I think you both traveled some in Europe, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, the train travel's a lot of fun in a way.
And I love it.
It's a relaxing way to travel. I like it, too. I like to look out and see the countryside. And, you know, I think if you're going on Amtrak, primarily it's probably more as a pleasure trip than, you know, and maybe it is a business trip, maybe it's something, you know, but I can't imagine it's going to take hours longer. I mean, I don't
Yeah, I want to see that.
I don't think you're going to be stuck for hours. Also, the one thing too that they're making a point of in this is that $3 million is sort of the high
worst case. Yeah. So explain that.
If there's enough usage, that number could go down significantly.
Right. So I mean, the city would commit to $3 million, but
right.
If ridership is good and the fares are higher, then that may not. Yeah. They may not need the whole $3 million. Maybe in a best case scenario, not need any of it, but. It's rare that the best case scenarios hit. Well, we'll talk about this more going forward. I just think I've got these two parts of it. The romance of train travel, I like it. I'm like you. I think it's really neat. But at the same time, the city has made a lot of bad choices with what we spend money on over the years.
Yeah, it has. I mean, but I it's one of those things that, I haven't seen the whole plan, so I'm not sitting here just arguing for it. I'm just trying to point out what positives they're saying at this point. I haven't made up my mind either in saying that this is, if they come back and say, if it just doesn't look feasible, then, that's one thing. The ridership numbers are going to have to be there, obviously. But it would be, I think, a great addition from a transportation standpoint if we can make it work.
All right. We'll talk more about that going forward. Also, just quickly before I get to your column, let's talk about what happened yesterday and kind of reflect on that from your time in Washington as well. So, the impeachment vote going down on pretty much straight partisan lines, with the exception of a couple Democrats voting with the Republicans no, and Tulsi Gabbard abstaining. What was your take?
Well, I mean, impeachment's ugly. We've been able to, I've been alive for three of them, I guess, or close to three of them, but it's, Nixon wasn't actually impeached.
Yeah, he
wasn't close. But,
right.
The Clinton thing, we were, it's ugly. It's partisan. It gets partisan. I don't know that it's worth the trouble or not. We can get into a big debate about whether we think what Trump did was right or wrong, and that's a whole different story, but whether impeachment, really is necessary, or whether it really helps the country is a whole other debate, and whether it's actually going to do anything. It doesn't look like the Senate's going to vote for it, so why even go this route if you know you don't have the votes there or even anywhere close to the votes? So it just turns into kind of a show.
All right, let's do this. Can you hold on during the break?
Sure.
Okay, we'll run the break, coming right back. More with Rob Holbert from Landyap, landyapmobile.com. We'll talk about picking up your copy and maybe even getting a subscription for yourself or somebody for Christmas. And he's got a column here that starts off as just like you think, oh my gosh, another one of these issues here in our city, but it goes so much deeper. If you want to read it too, it's Damn the Torpedoes in the new issue of Landyap. We'll be right back. FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. And less than 7 days from Christmas, we help you out here for a last minute, but a winner of a Christmas gift. Omaha Steaks. You can give the gift, the holiday gift that families across America have loved for over 100 years with Omaha Steaks. And right now, y'all can take part in a limited time offer, and there's still time to place your order for the holidays. If you go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code Sullivan in the search bar, order the favorite gift package, the gift everyone will love, for only $69.99. Get 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignon, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steak signature seasoning pack, plus, for y'all, special deal, a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board. Get all the delicious food, plus the free cutlery set that they'll enjoy for years to come for only $69.99. Now, Omaha Steaks are the most tender, the most flavorful, and the only steaks of this quality are from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. Here it is, the deal right now. Don't wait. Take advantage of it now. If you want the great, all the great meat and the cutting board and the cutlery set, you do this. You go to omahasteaks.com. You'll see the search bar right there. Type in my last name, Sullivan, in the search bar to order the gift everyone will love. Order that favorite gift package today. And speaking of gifts, too, Rob, if somebody wants to give the gift of Landyap this Christmas season, they can do that, right?
Yes, can. You do it for 25% off right now. So it's a great value. So you go online and you can sign up, and you can sign yourself up, you can sign somebody else up.
All right, so you can go ahead and get that booked for yourself and a loved one for 2020 and get it at a discount.
That's right. Yeah, it's a good value. You know, we're taking that. It's 21 cents a day normally, Sean, so now we're taking off, like, you know, maybe another 6 cents for you. You know, I mean, what are you going to do with that money?
Oh, I've got plans, but I can't tell anybody right now what I do with all those pennies.
Exactly. For 6 cents a day, you're going to do something with it. It's good. Yeah, it's a good value.
All right.
And, you know, gets you all the local news, all the breaking news. I mean, it's all the news from both sides of the bay that we're doing. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff that the other news stations and news entities around here aren't doing. So if you're not with us, if you're not reading it, you're missing out on some things.
All right. If somebody wants to be a Luddite and they don't want to sign up for that, they can still pick up copies of Land the App. How many places?
1,500, Mobile and Baldwin County. Of course, you can go travel one side of the bay and the other and get both versions of the paper, since we do a Mobile and Baldwin version, but you certainly can still go get it for free at those spots.
All right, good stuff. I want to talk about your column this week in Damn the Torpedoes. Santa Claus gets racially insulted on the DIP. You're talking about the Parade of Threes. What is this?
Well, it's a parade that they have had now. This is the third year for it, and it's put on by District 3 Councilman C.J. Small and also the State Rep 103, Representative Barbara Drummond. And they call it the Parade of Threes. It's basically a Christmas parade down in the DIP area.
Okay.
And so this year they had they needed a Santa Claus, and they called hired the Military Corps people here who do a lot of stuff locally, and they selected a guy who is sort of an entertainer. They just, you know, said, hey, look, this guy, Bob Montague, he's going to go out and be Santa Claus. So Bob goes out there to be Santa Claus, and he's excited. He gets on the float, and he was supposed to have some elves, he said, that were going to show up, but they didn't show up. So he said, well, can my family go? And they said, sure. You know, so he gets up on the float, and he starts to ride as Santa Claus, and before he knows it, people are kind of yelling at him, you know, and saying things to him, and a guy throws a moon pie at him, and then all of a sudden he starts to hear, you know, why is this white Santa Claus in our neighborhood? You know, we don't want a white Santa Claus. There's a lot of racial stuff about, you know, him being white and the crowd being predominantly black, and he just said, you know, it was an hour and a half of just of being tortured over that, and having, you know, his children be just, you know, he's got eight and ten year old kids, but wow. You know, they're just sitting there listening to this stuff, and on top of that, some adults in the audience, you know, in the crowd, that are saying those types of things in front of other children.
So they're and people yelling at him and throwing things at him, and because he's white,
yeah. You know.
So, yeah, go ahead.
No, and I also want to just point out that, you know, both Barbara Drummond and C.J. Small denounced this. They, you know, they knew nothing about it going on. I want to make that point so people don't think they had anything to do with this. And obviously, it's not the majority of the people in the crowd doing it.
Okay. This is where this, I mean, there's like a regular news story, but when y'all read this column, you'll see what I'm talking about. This now takes almost like a turn here to learn about somebody and maybe learn a lesson from this.
Well, you know, Bob was especially irritated by it. You know, he said, yeah, people that are yelling that at me don't know me. And, you know, he was raised, you know, back in the 50s and 60s in a family that where his stepfather was African American, his mother's white. And so, you know, as he put it, he said, look, I've seen real racism. He said, you know, this is not something that, you know, it's a situation where you know, people think, you know, that we, you know, they're getting on my case about being white. You know, like, they don't even understand my background, my history, and it's just prejudging somebody based on their ethnicity.
Yeah, and I mean, this story. So he saw it growing up, the racism that was pointed towards him then because of his racially mixed family, and now he's getting it on the parade route for being a white Santa.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's one of the heads of that of the Corps took to Facebook to denounce it as well. He's an African American gentleman, and he saw it as well, and, you know, did a video on Facebook basically saying this is just unacceptable. You know, it's kind of, it immediately sort of reminded me of that situation back in the, it was back in 68 is when it happened, but when Philadelphia Eagles fans booed Santa Claus and threw snowballs at him. But, you know, they were angry about their team being bad and losing all of its games. But, you know, this is a lot deeper and a lot more disturbing than just people who are upset at a football game.
But, you know, I'm a guy that looks for silver linings, and maybe there is from this, maybe a real good takeaway lesson for this. I mean, here's this person who, you know, is going to be Santa Claus, gets all this, but now tells a story of what he dealt with growing up in a racially mixed family. Maybe folks on all sides can take some lessons from this.
Well, I hope so. That's why I wrote it. I mean, I hope that it's something that, I mean, it's shocking, but I also think that people who, maybe if some of those people involved in it, if they happen to read anything, that if they read it or hear about it, maybe they'll think twice about it. It's just, you know, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody basically verbally assault or throw things at somebody who's taking their time out of their day to do this? And I mean, you know, he's there to entertain their kids, to entertain that crowd, and you know, it turns into an issue of it's not good enough because he's not of a certain ethnicity.
No. Well, maybe, yeah, maybe the, and you're right, maybe like most times when we're talking about an issue, the people that cause the issue may not be paying attention to it, but the rest of us can learn from this and I think take away. So, I mean, it's kind of a message, a good message here at the end of the year at Christmas time to, you know, keep people's eyes open and hearts open and make sure you know what's going on. You know, it's a heck of a story.
Well, I thought it was a pretty amazing, you know, statement from him when I talked to him. And it's a tough thing. You know, when I heard about it, I thought this is just crazy. But it's, you know, he has a lot to say about it. And, you know, he found at the end that were people who came up and brought their kids up to him at the end. And I think that sort of, for him, was the silver lining, that there were still people who were accepting of what he was trying to do. And you know, he found some good in it as well.
Great story. Y'all can catch that in the new issue of Lanyap. And once again, if somebody wants to sign up for Lanyap, tell them how to do it.
Go to lanyapmobile.com and sign in. It's you know, it's only 21 cents a day. If you do it now, it's 25% off. It's even less. So you know, get up and get to it. It helps us do great journalism around the community and keeps you informed. It's all important. You know, it's unlimited access when you get in there.
Thank you, Rob. We appreciate what you're doing, and Merry Christmas.
All right, Merry Christmas, y'all. Have a great one.
All right, I'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. We have Senator Doug Jones joining us right off the top. So all of y'all that have wanted me to ask him again how he would vote on removal, we're going to do that. Talk about more with the senator at noon today on Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show coming up next.